God, as we take a moment to just spend some time in your word, I am oftentimes intimidated by the fact that I have to try to explain the unexplainable, that you are beyond our comprehension, that you are larger than we can imagine, you are more powerful than anything in the universe. You are infinite. And we're going to take some time just to learn about you. Lord, I pray that today we would know you better. We'd know a little bit about you, but more than that we would know you better. So I ask that you would speak through your word, speak through me. We invite you to be here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was the middle of June 2010. The temperature was unseasonably cool. I don't know if that's me or something else, but... And my wife and new baby were in the hospital getting ready to come home. The house was cold. Like I said, it was unseasonably cold that year, and I had run out of heating oil. I was being a miser, and... I thought, it's not going to get cold again, so I don't need to worry about heating oil right now. And so I let it run out and wasn't worried about it. I ran home to get a few things before Annie and Sabrina were going to come home. And I noticed how freezing the house felt. And what I realized was, as I was preparing to bring this little baby home, my senses were heightened. I grabbed the car seat, I put in the base in the car, and I headed off to the hospital, and I waited. I waited for them to be released. That sounds more like prison, doesn't it? But finally, they discharged us, and I took Annie, and I put her in that car seat. And has anybody else ever felt like intimidated when you put that newborn and strap them into a piece of plastic? It is a little awkward. Nothing fits right, and they just seem like they're just these teeny tiny little things. And so I got her in the car seat, got everything somewhat tight, and walked to the car. And we got into the car, and I felt like the car was like just a giant target. We pulled out onto the street, and I was afraid of vehicles even a block away. We got to the four-way stop. And man, I waited for everybody to go because I felt vulnerable. Well, the truth is that what I felt like is our car, my cargo was so precious that I wanted to be protective. Now, you know, the years have gone on and I'm not nearly as nervous now. I wanted to do everything I could to protect her. Well, as Christians, see, we have something even more precious, but I'm not sure that we have recognized it. When we accepted Christ into our hearts, we gained a valuable treasure within us. We were given the Holy Spirit. And just for a moment, let me try and give you a glimpse of the awesomeness of this, okay? And it was in my prayer that it's my job to try to give you something to explain the unexplainable. But as we look through Scripture of this example of what have we been given, I looked to the story in Exodus, chapter 33. Listen to these words. Now, Moses... He used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent of meeting. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud, now you remember in the Exodus story, during the day, a pillar of cloud led the Israelites. And at night, a pillar of fire. When Moses entered into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance of that tent while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their own tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Did you notice how the people responded when Moses went to the tent of meeting? Their attention was on what he was doing. I can just imagine as he walked through the camp, they would come out of their tents and just be watching him as he walks outside of the camp to the tent of meeting. And as he goes in the pillar of cloud, God's presence would come and stop at the entrance. And they would sit there at the front of their tents and worship. And inside that tent, Moses would and God would talk like friends. They were amazed, and they recognized the greatness of those moments. Today, the difference is each Christian, each one of us, is the tent. And the Lord dwells within us and speaks to us as one speaks to a friend. I have to admit, I might from time to time forget how amazing that is, that the God of the universe has taken up residence in my life. That he talks to me as a friend talks to a friend. That he gave me his Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Now some of us may connect that to the day the Holy Spirit came and the disciples spoke in tongues. It's Pentecost Sunday, we know it as Acts chapter 2. But Pentecost is actually a word that existed way before the story of the Holy Spirit shows up in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost was originally a Jewish festival. Shavuot is another word for Pentecost, and is a festival of first fruits. Now you may be thinking, well, you know, Pentecost is, you know, that churches are named Pentecostal churches. I mean, that's like the Holy Spirit thing, right? Well, actually, Pentecost was, we got its name because it's 50 days after Passover. That's it. I know you were hoping for probably something a little deeper than that. 50 days after Passover. What would happen on this festival of first fruits is the harvest was done, and the Israelites would now bring their offering, their sacrifices to God, their first fruits. It was a celebration that would happen in Jerusalem that the people from the surrounding areas, actually all Israelites were invited and really were actually expected to come and to bring their offering to God. This once-a-year event. After harvest, they take the first of their fruits and bring it to God. What an interesting thing, if you think about this. The festival that was representative of all the people of God bringing their gift to God, that's the day that God chose to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them and to us, to his followers. Let's look at that special day. It's found in Acts chapter 2, okay? Starting in verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 6. When the day of Pentecost came, when that day that the offerings were supposed to be brought in, they were all together in one place. That was all the disciples. Some sources say about 120 people. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. That's because they were bringing their first fruits. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. They heard the mighty rushing wind and they heard people talking. Because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Peter went on to share the gospel. He went on to explain Scripture, of how Jesus fulfilled Scripture, and many accepted Jesus as Lord that day. And it has continued to spread to this day. Now, a few weeks ago, I gave you a quick list of what the Holy Spirit does. Before we're saved, He is the one that draws all men to Himself. He's the one that's drawing people to God. When we accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit brings life. We call it regeneration, that He brings us to life because sin has caused death in us. The Holy Spirit brings life. He lives in us and He gives us gifts. And as we live out our life, as we continue to be a follower of Christ, He empowers, He teaches, and He guides. He reminds us of the things that Jesus said. He reminds us of the things we've read in Scripture, and He prays for us. Now, that's kind of a review, and if you missed that Sunday, I'm not going to go back because we got to keep moving, all right? But if you have questions, come ask. Some of the things the Holy Spirit does are not determined by our response. Whether or not we say yes to Jesus, He continues to draw all men to Himself. But just because He lives within us doesn't mean that we've given Him much control. We still live a self-directed life. We make decisions based on our own wisdom and our own desires. If that at all sounds familiar, some of us call that a carnal Christian. A person who has accepted Christ but lives to satisfy their sinful nature. Now, anybody in their right mind wouldn't admit to being a carnal Christian, I hope. Right? It's not a bragging point. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a carnal Christian. Absolutely. If you lived in Utah and you were surrounded by Mormons, there's people called Joe Mormons, right? Those are those ones, they have the title, but nothing really shows up. I don't know if we call them Joe Christians, but really that's carnal Christian. Somebody that has accepted Jesus, but they still make decisions based on what they want. If we don't decide to not live this way, we will continue to be lukewarm Christians. There's a better way. And we read today in Acts where the disciples receive the Holy Spirit and they spread the gospel, but what we may miss is how their lives were transformed that day. And when they were what we call filled with the Spirit, their life was different. It wasn't just this moment where they were able to say something to the crowd. Having the Holy Spirit, which all Christians actually have, is one thing. He speaks and directs, but He doesn't necessarily have our ear. It's pretty hit and miss. And most of the time, we only listen when it's convenient or when we're in crisis and we don't know how to get through it. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is different. Paul tells us, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. That's Ephesians 5:18. This verse oftentimes is, especially in good Nazarene churches, this passage is used as, see, you shouldn't drink. Don't get drunk, it's sinful. Now, I won't argue it. I think it's pretty sound advice. But he says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. He's making a connection with these two. How alcohol affects a person negatively. If we're filled with the Spirit, it should affect every part of our life. If we take a moment and think about how alcohol can affect a person, he's saying, be influenced like that by the Spirit instead. This filling of the Spirit takes place when we decide to step off the throne of our lives and let Him have control. Let's call this a Christ-directed life, okay? Not only is Jesus on the inside of our lives, but He sits on the throne of our lives. Sometimes this process isn't always easy. Sometimes it's one step forward, two steps back. In fact, maybe just to help you get a picture, why don't we watch this video, okay?
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
Really?
Yeah.
You know whoever sits here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really? I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it. So do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why?
What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, give me a call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking it here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay. So let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but
you
don't know the whole situation, you know?
Oh. Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
This isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
Jesus spoke in John chapter 10 about coming to give us abundant life. Our picture may be full, a life full of everything we wanted, full of adventure and safety all mixed together, where all of our problems are solved and we have no struggles. But that's not what He's offering. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and He filled the disciples. The filling of the Holy Spirit is more than just the Holy Spirit being a part of your life, a resident of your life. But it's when He's on the throne. The Holy Spirit is the source of overflowing life. John tells us, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, He meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Rivers of living water will flow out of us. He was talking about the Spirit. You know, I spoke about this last week, the water of life. The qualities of that water. You know, I don't want to repeat last week's message, but let me just put it in terms of this, okay? Is there something in your life that you just can't seem to get enough of? A craving that you try and satisfy, but afterwards you don't feel any better. Maybe even you feel worse. Do you look at that satisfaction in? Do you look for that satisfaction in something or somebody else? I have no doubt that every one of us has an area or two where we're weak. And as I wrote that line right there, I thought I actually pictured people in the congregation. I thought, well, I don't think they have anything that they're weak in. So if I think that of some of you, and some of you are laughing, right? I hope. Then you probably think that of people around you as well. In all actuality, every one of us has areas in our life that we're thirsty. We have areas in our life that need attention, that they need the Holy Spirit to address in us. It may show up in our shopping habits, in your relationship struggles. It may show up in your internet usage or your TV or entertainment habits, your work, your drive for money. Maybe in the way you use substances, drugs, alcohol. If it's socially acceptable, here's the problem. If it's socially acceptable, then we may not realize it's there. And the older we get, I think the better we are at hiding those thirsts. We're justifying them. We've explained them away. But they're still there. Each of us has areas of need in our lives, and we may not realize it, but we're trying to satisfy that need with something other than God Himself. He is enough. And if you haven't let Him satisfy that deep thirst, then nothing or anybody will satisfy it. Let me just say it this way. He is enough, period. If everything in your life was stripped away, He is enough. We need our lives to be built on Him first and foremost. Your job, your home, your toys, your money, your spouse, none of it will be enough. Because that's not the source of life. If we don't start with Him first, satisfying us, then nothing will. Money? We know better. Career? Toys? Spouse? None of those are bad. But when they're sought to complete you, they will never be enough. The Holy Spirit is in us, okay? The Holy Spirit in us can bring abundant life if we'll let Him. If we allow Him to stay on the stool. The Holy Spirit came to glorify Jesus. As we look in Acts, that was the whole point. Jesus tells us in John 16, He will glorify Me because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. I just want to stop for a minute. Sometimes we talk about Jesus being in our hearts, and honestly, we throw around the Holy Spirit and Jesus probably more than we should. Because the Holy Spirit working in us. Is the Holy Spirit driving us, and everything that He does is from Jesus. And so sometimes I think we interchange Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But let's get it in our heads right. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be in us. I want to keep this truth in your mind and never forget it, okay? If something does not glorify Christ, then it's not from the Holy Spirit. If you're being led a certain way, but it does not glorify Jesus, then it's not from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus. What would our life look like if we constantly were asking the question, does this bring glory to Jesus? Would we respond differently to people? Would we invest our time and money differently if we asked that question? How often do we make decisions in our day that don't shine a good light on Him? The Holy Spirit on the stool, on the throne of our lives, will guide us in a direction that brings glory to Jesus. Not only that, but we must also remember it isn't actually us that glorifies Him. That the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus through us. It's not all on our shoulders. Our job is to be obedient, to allow Him to sit on the throne and to do what He says. It's not our job to glorify. It's the Holy Spirit in us, through us, that does it. What I mean by that is I think sometimes we hold back from saying anything about Jesus because to friends, to coworkers, to neighbors or whatever, because we don't want to say something wrong. It is not as much what you say as is what the Holy Spirit says through you. You know, as I was looking at this stuff this morning, I was thinking, oh, they probably already know all this stuff. So maybe I shouldn't even say it. Well, the truth is God kind of responded back to me. Sometimes He's a little sarcastic. I don't know if He is with you guys, but I pick it up as sarcasm with Him. And He goes, I felt like He said, is it really important, which is more important, what I say through you or what you say? At that point, I have to say, okay, well, we're going, you're getting it, what I've got here, okay? I'm just hoping the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus through me. We might get intimidated to talk about God, but if He is in us, His job, one of His things, He is glorifying the Son. And the Holy Spirit came to empower us. Oftentimes we attempt to do the work of God, whether it be witnessing or just living a holy life, on our own strength. So many of us are self-made people, and we're proud of it. Well, I did this, and I was able to do this, and look at where I'm at now. And so we attempt in all of our lives to do it on our own strength without the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Paul's words in Romans chapter 8. He says this, 8:11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. What we must realize is the context of this passage. See, Romans 8 talks about a life that's led by the Spirit. But we've got to look at it in context, because Romans 7, Paul talks about doing what he doesn't want to do. And if you've read that before, it's a little bit confusing unless you're reading just little bits and pieces of it, because he says, I don't understand why I do what I don't want to do and I don't do what I want to do. And he rattles a little bit at that point. You know what he's describing, though? He's describing a carnal Christian. A Christian living a self-directed life. We gravitate to that chapter because we get it. We go, oh yeah, Paul, I understand. I get it. I see that. Yeah. But Romans 8 cannot be left out. The same power that brought Jesus back to life after being brutally beaten, that same power lives in us. So what are we talking about? What does he empower us to do? God has called each of us to a supernatural life. He's called us to one that is contrary to what the world looks like. He's called us to a life that is different, that is set apart. This, you know, he actually expects us to be holy. He has a pretty high expectation of you. And oftentimes he gives us things to do that are beyond our strength. So we should be able to say, yeah, that's what he expects of us. Because he wants us to draw on his strength. He's given us his power. Paul says in Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we can't do that on our own. We aren't strong enough. In our own strength, it's incredibly difficult to say no to our drives and our selfishness, because our flesh yearns to say yes. To live the way God wants us to live will require strength that we don't have in ourselves. When we realize that we can't do it, when we realize we are weak and are empty, that's when we discover his power. Didn't Paul say, in my weakness you are strong? When we realize there has got to be more to being a Christian than just a cycle of sin and repentance, defeat and apologies, that's when his power is available. When we realize this isn't as good as it gets, the Lord wants us to trust him. Maybe that's why we don't always surrender everything to him. You know, this is in my notes, so I'm hoping it comes out okay. Sabrina and I, when it comes to the beginning of the month, she gets part of the income, I get the other part of the income. And it is, at first, you know, I spent 38 years doing it myself. And it's just really hard to give up some money. And it's a matter of trust. That her part's going to make it through the month. That she's going to take care of that part of it. As we've operated on that system, you know what? I don't think anything of it now. I trust her. I know, that's big of me. I know, you're impressed. But the stuff that we don't give to God, isn't it because we actually don't trust him? Maybe he doesn't have our best interest in mind. Maybe he doesn't really understand. We begin to climb all over the stool. He doesn't get it. Well, if I trust him, I'm going to end up with nothing. Do we trust him? He may take us through some awful things. He may seem to wait too long and keep us in uncomfortable situations. Or he may give us something that is too big for us. It's beyond our capability. But he's never late. He has our ultimate good in mind. He is more powerful than anything we will ever face. And we can't forget that the one who lives in us is greater than the one that lives in the world. He's greater than anything that we will ever face. When we live beyond our own abilities, it will draw us closer to him. It will build our faith. And it will invite him to work his will in and through us. His Spirit will help us move past our weakness and our fears to a place of strength. Now, the church, especially in America, seems to lack spiritual power today. And Christians as a whole seem to look, at least the ones around here, seem to look an awful lot like the world. Which means we struggle to be the salt and light. We struggle to be an influence on the world around us. The Spirit isn't leading us to look like that. Jesus is not glorified that way. His power enables us to live a life that is different than our society. And we need to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do in us. He will empower us. Some of us have a decision in front of us this morning. Some of us kind of crept back up on that stool. Some of us have never given it to him to begin with. So, number one, we need to determine if you wanted to be directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you want that? Are you okay being a carnal Christian? Are you okay being lukewarm? Are you okay just saying, well, you know, I invited him in my heart, so that's all I needed to do. I mean, really all I want to do is do the least that I can. Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Number two, recognize you can't satisfy your own thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Will you stop chasing all that other stuff and chase after him? And number three, present every area of your life to God. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Give him the throne of your life. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure which is more exciting. People inviting Jesus into their life for the first time, or people deciding to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know which is more exciting for me, for somebody to say that I accepted the Lord, or somebody to say I surrendered everything to him. That might be equal to me. We need to remember Paul talks about fruit. He talks about it with, what's the title? Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit empowers us to. What this world needs isn't a great leader. Thank goodness, because the ones on the docket probably won't do it. What it needs is Christians who will live empowered by the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Does our country need the right president, or does it need Christians who are empowered by the Holy Spirit? I mean, we put our hope in the president, or a leader. You know why? So that we don't have to worry about it ourselves. So it's not on our shoulders. We need Christians who will live empowered by the Holy Spirit. That takes place when we pray. And if we want to see it happen, we want to see it happen not only in your life, but in the life of the church, we should be praying for it. When God has something great to accomplish, it is always preceded in prayer. I know in my experience, anytime God did something great, there was a lot of prayer before it. Will you join with me in praying these four things, okay? I didn't come up with them myself. A guy named Jonathan Edwards came up with them. Jonathan Edwards was part of the great revival movement that swept across the country, the United States. One of the few times that a revival has swept across the United States. As we approach our spiritual renewal week that we've got, that we're praying for, some more than others are probably praying for it, will you begin to pray these four areas, okay? And not just that it's focused on that weekend, that week, but maybe this is something we should continue. That we would pray God's presence to come down. This is another way of asking for His Holy Spirit to fill us. Okay? That we would pray God's word would come home. If you look at the story in Nehemiah chapter 8, the book of the law is brought out. It had been hidden, it had been stored away, and it hadn't been read in decades. As they brought it out and they read it, people began to weep. People began to get on their knees and repent. Pray that God's word would come home. Pray that His holiness would come through. That we would begin to live holy lives. And we pray that God's people would come alive. If you look, what we're really praying for is for God's Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Will you pray with me? I want to remind you, as your heads are bowed, some of us are in that spot of determining if we want to be directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Some of us are that place where we realize, man, I keep chasing after stuff that doesn't satisfy. Some of us sense that God's saying, hey, I want every area of your life. We make the decision. God, I pray that your presence would come down. That every time we meet together, not just in this building, but as believers, that you would join us. That your presence would be there. And Lord, I pray that your word would come home, that when we hear your word, it would cut into every part of our life. Lord, I pray that your holiness would come through. And I pray that your people will come alive. I pray, God, that the source of hope will fill us completely with joy and peace because we trust in you. Then we will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.